Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $500 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com. and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Sign up at UnderdogFantasy.com with promo code SGPN and receive a free $25 entry to use in Best Ball Mania 2 for a chance to win $1 million. Welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford, coming to you from Newcastle on the northeast coast of England. And joining me from a whole lot of miles away in Houston, Texas, Munaf Manji. Good afternoon, Munaf. We're at a whole different time. That's why I'm a bit more sprightly than usual. And you're the one with a sleepy head today.
Yeah, we're recording at a different time. You know, we usually record Thursday nights and Sunday nights, but I think the timing worked out even better that we decided to record at least this morning for me, because we had some more news that came down after the usual time we record. So happy to that we moved it, and then gives us a little more things to talk about as far as the podcast goes today. But what time was it? What, 5 o'clock for you over there?
It's 4 p.m.
Okay, so yeah, you're perky as more than usual.
I think what we've discovered, Munaf, is that I'm more of a natural light man. You see, it's nice; it's actual daylight outside, so the artificial light doesn't do me many favors. But in natural light, I'm a stone cold stunner, it turns out. So this could be the time we need to go for.
Yeah, and you got your hair all done. You got all cleaned up for. Yeah.
I've been in front of the cameras this week, Munaf. There was some there was a man cave company who sell things that go in man caves. So they do pool tables, air hockey, dartboards, beer pong, and they needed someone to demonstrate all their casino games. So in my role as gamekeeper rather than poacher, I went along and I demonstrated the roulette and the blackjack. And I've just been explaining to you. They asked me to learn how to deal craps, which takes about 6 weeks. They gave me about 40 minutes. So I've muddled my way through that. I just about worked out what the pass line was. And after that, it was an absolute... So I fudged that. So hopefully they won't get back in touch with me and say this was all a little bit wild and incorrect. But so I did that, and then been on the blackjack table last night at a wedding. I'm on a blackjack table again tonight at a birthday party. So things are opening up again now. The COVID restrictions have been relaxed. So I'm a busy bee, and I've got my bow tie and my blackjack shoe to carry around with me every night for the next few weeks. So all fun and games. But it was trade deadline day. We're right bang in the middle of it. So that's why we kind of postponed recording last night. We were going to record last night, but there were so many things that were just kind of on the verge of being over the line. So there was no point in us speculating when a little delay of even 18 hours could have um, could could have seen some the deals that were done properly. And it's been a fun couple of days. So we're gonna talk trade deadline in a little while, in between analysing the picks that we made last Sunday and the picks that we're going to make today for the weekend. Start us off, Moonaf, with it was a bit another bitty week. We seem to be stuck a little bit in pitchers getting moved, whether it's been postponements or this hasn't settled down since the All-Star break. I was expecting the first three or four nights to be a bit different.
I guess it's just another week for us, right? With what's kind of transpired with our picks.
It's the baseball thing. It's hard to get. You can't get more than maybe even 12 hours ahead of yourself. Otherwise, everything you speculate on has changed. So there was bits and bobs. But you talk us through where you started off.
Yeah, I guess I'll start with my lock there. It was Walker Buehler and the Dodgers going up against the Giants. I believe this went off on Wednesday night. And I was backing Walker Buehler because of the dominance he had against the San Francisco Giants this season. And it was on full display again on Wednesday. He's now up to 34 innings pitched against them, allowed 20 hits in those 34 innings, and it's only given up 3 earned runs. And I believe they won that game 8-0. Believe they got out to a 3-0 lead in that third inning. And then that was pretty much all they needed, because Walker Buehler was just so good in that game. And I was actually watching the game, and he was just painting the corners, getting himself out of jam. So it was really great to see to get that locked up. And I honestly thought that this price would have been a little steeper, but it was when I woke up and I put the bet in, it was only around -124. So it seemed a little fishy, but we were on the right side on whoever tailed that pick. And then as far as my dog, I had Tyler Anderson going up against the the Brewers, but his name was circulating. We had talked about in our last episode that his name was going to be circulating in some trade rumors. He was pulled out, or the game came off the board on the website or off the sports book, because there was rumors that he was getting traded to the Phillies. And I guess something with the players in return, that one of the teams was getting back, something was wrong medically, so he was back into the bullpen starting, and then eventually he was replaced by another starter in the game, and then eventually the next day Tyler Anderson was then traded to the Mariners, so that one got voided for me. But I'm happy to hit my lock, and hopefully I can continue that momentum going into this weekend.
Well, I think that probably had a domino effect on the lock that I picked, because I'd taken Eric Lauer for the Brewers the night after or the night before, one or the other, and with Anderson suddenly starting then not starting, I think they brought Chad Kuhl forward a day. But then Eric Lauer, because I picked Eric Lauer up in a fantasy team over the weekend as well. I'd spent a couple of quid on him, and all of a sudden he dealt 3 innings out of the bullpen, which baffled me for some reason. I can't even remember the pitch we followed. So the Brewers won the game fairly comfortably, but the pick was Eric Lauer, who he dealt 3 innings of relief. But even I'm not going to claim that one. And my loss was another one of these, Moonaf. I need to start doing. We need to discuss this actually when I make a pick a little bit later on. Maybe these first 5 bets, because I took James Caprillion for Oakland. I can't remember what night it was, but they were 3-0 up and absolutely cruising. I think it was maybe Monday or Tuesday. It was, and there was quite a bit of talk about it in the Slack channel. People liked it. People had arrived there by themselves. They'd drawn their own conclusion, and they were 3-0 up and cruising. And then I think it was the bottom of the third. It was against the Padres. There was 2 outs in the bottom of the third, and there was a little chopper. I think it was Adam Frazier in one of his first games. A little chopper which bounced over the pitcher's head. The second baseman couldn't get it. Couldn't get the runner out in time. And then Tatis comes up next. It's a 2-out homer. And the game's gone to 3-2. And then the first reliever that came in the game was Yusmeiro Petit. He gave up 3 runs in his first 7 pitches, and they went down 7-4. So I seem to be on the wrong end of a lot of these. It was the selection was right, the process was right, the result came up wrong. But maybe, like you say, a first five inning bet would have got that one over the line, Moonaf.
No, because the Padres then put up 5 more in the bottom of the fifth. So
yeah, that was the Petit gave up those three runs later, and it went 3-2 to 5, and then 7, and that was the end of it.
You just knew that after that error happened with Frazier and that Tatis was coming up, this is going to be bad. I was watching the game, and then I thought he was going to get out of the inning, and then I just turned the TV off, and then I literally went into the other room and checked the score, and there you go, Padres put up 2. So it's been just one of those things that if you go first 5 innings or full game, I mean, Caprillion was doing really well, but then, those errors that happen, they just always come back to bite you in the ass.
Absolutely. Scott went 1-1, but it was his dog that won, so that'll put him ahead for the week. He lost the money line bet, the Rays against the Yankees on Tuesday night. But you've put in the show notes, shockingly, Chapman picked the save up, which is quite funny. but his money line bet was a great, this was a great pick. The Royals on Monday night against the White Sox. And the White Sox had, as you pointed out, it was a good spot. Now, this is something I hear more in NFL betting. You talk about a team coming off a win or a loss. Is that the White Sox had played the Brewers on Sunday night in the big televised game, and then gone on to Monday to play the Royals. And the Royals actually been quite feisty this week. And did they win it maybe 5-0, something like that? But Royals on the money line with Scott. So he picked his dog up and his lock went down. And I'll let you talk us through Knicks, because your little show notes made me laugh again there.
Yeah, this week was the week that Nick took the bite with the bullet, with the bullpens just absolutely crushing his dream. So sorry, Nick, you were the scapegoat this week. He had the Nationals money line. I believe it was, I need to start around on these games, but they were up throughout the game. I believe it was Monday. Let me double check here. Fast forward Monday here. Here we go. Yeah, so they were up 5-3 going into the bottom of the ninth.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, and then it was two outs also. Yeah, two guys on. Andrew McCutchen is up. And Brad Hand, the guy that we had talked about last week that was going to be on the trading block, absolutely crushes his dreams. And Andrew McCutchen hits one out of the park. Walk-off home run for the Phillies, and they got the victory over the Nationals. So, sorry, Nick. You know, you were the scapegoat for the bullpen blow-up this week. And then his dog was the Mariners against the Astros. I believe this was on Tuesday, and another game that he could have won. But, Nick's been consistent for us all season long, so I'm sure he's going to bounce back this weekend. Sorry, Nick, you were the bullpen culprit this week.
Gets me off the hook, saves me having to explain myself a little bit. If you saw me twitching around in the last 1 minute there, Moonaf, it's a bit of a role reversal here. I'm normally watching your eyes dart between 17 different screens. Well, we're in the middle of Glorious Goodwood here, which is one of the big horse racing meetings. And if you know, I do cover the horse racing for the SGPN. So I've just been watching a race there and had a little +350 winner, and it was just hanging on as we got to the line, hanging on grimly, but he's won by a nose. Keep me going for another little while. My tally site picks have gone really well this week. I got ahead on early on Monday, so I got 8 games. I think I was something like 9-2 or something, and then capped that up. So currently sitting on 61%, which I'm happy with. And the ROI was good as well. Picked up quite a lot of dogs this week. So I've been traveling along okay, which makes it even worse that the Caprillion bet went down, because I've had a lot of winners to choose from, a lot of dogs to choose from, and then haven't managed to spit the right one out. But it's been an odd week. There's been quite a lot of high scoring games, a lot of double figures. We had there was a 14-0. Did the Rays beat the Yankees, and then the Yankees turned it around and spanked them the other way. And I know we're going to mention the crazy Detroit Minnesota game as well in a little while. But how's your week's picks gone?
Yeah, I just checked it right now. I think I got off to a slow start for the week, but I'm not sure if this is correct or not. But apparently, I'm 71% for this week. at 29-12. So, you know, last week was not a great week for me, so I'm glad to turn around this week. And, you know, we're all, again, we're all at that 53% or better mark, you know, going forward for the season. So hopefully we can continue that momentum through the weekend. And definitely, again, if you are not in the Slack channel, which you should be, but make sure we're posting our daily picks. We're picking every single game, every single week for the baseball season. So check out our picks. You know, we're partnered with TallySide, but it's embedded on our website at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Just hit that MLB tab. You'll see MLB picks, and you'll see picks from Malcolm, myself, Will, and Nick. So we're all having a great season, and hopefully we can continue that here, like we said, in the second half of the season.
That Detroit-Minnesota game, Detroit beat Minnesota 17-14 the other night. I've got a couple of great stats here, Muna, for you. So this was the fourth time just in MLB history that a team had won a game in which they'd given up seven home runs. However, it was the first time in MLB history that a team had won that without a home run themselves. All the other occasions, the winning team had at least hit one home run in response to the seven that they'd given up. Where Detroit won that game, they gave up seven home runs, didn't hit one, and won the game 17-14. That's remarkable.
That's crazy. I mean, I'm looking at the, I saw that somebody, you put that on our show show notes, and I saw that also. And then I also saw somebody pointing that out on Twitter also. But that's crazy. I mean, looking at that fourth inning, they combined to score 14 runs in that fourth inning. When I was looking at the score, I wasn't sure if it was a NFL preseason game, but apparently it was a baseball. But if you're a fan of runs, this was the game for you for sure. And Tigers pulled away.
They seem to take turns in scoring a lot of unanswered runs as well. There was one team put up 10, then they would have an hour off while the other team would put up 8, and then they'd swap back again. And it was backwards and forwards. But I saw the stat. It was a friend of mine, Russell Eason, who is a Brit over here and does loads of good analysis and stuff. I think he's had stuff published on Fangraphs and stuff. So I pinched that one off Russell. So cheers for that, Russ. But yeah, I enjoyed that stat a lot. And there was just a couple of other bits that caught my eye this week. Mm-hmm. One of them was a real clutch bit of play. And normally we talk about walk-off homers, walk-off hits, things like that. But it was the Michael Conforto throw. Did you see him absolutely laser out Almonte for the Braves to get them the win? It was the last out, play at the plate, bottom of the ninth. The ball went into right field, sort of mid-right field. Wasn't even shallow, really. And Conforto came onto it and lasered the throw to get the out at home and give the Mets a 2-1 win. And I really enjoyed that. So often you see a real defensive highlight like that that wins a game.
Those are the type of plays that are going to matter, or those wins that are going to matter down the stretch for the Mets. And, you know, we had talked about at the beginning of the second half of the season that the Phillies were right there behind them, and then I know we'll get to them in a little bit. And then the Braves are right there also. So, you know, for him to make that type of defensive play and get that W for them, I think that's huge, man. I mean, it's not talked about a lot, but those are the wins that you're not sometimes supposed to win, but you do win that matter at the end of the season. I think this was one of them for the Mets, and they're playing well right now.
The Mets are playing well, and they're finding several different ways of getting it done as well. They're winning from the front, they're winning from behind. They've had real late rallies. They've dealt with quite a lot of adversity. Actually, Carlos Carrasco pitches tonight, I think, first game back. That's kind of gone under the radar because he was a big addition when he came in with Lindor from the Indians preseason. They haven't had a game out of him yet, so it'll be interesting to see how he goes. I was actually considering fading him first time up, just against the Reds, because the Reds are quite powerful, and I thought there might be some good value. But that game's tonight, and I'm not sure what time we were going to get this out by, and I wanted to make my pick Saturday and Sunday. But if you manage to listen to this just before, maybe Carrasco might just be worth a fade on debut, because I don't know how deep into that game he's going to go. Speaking of Cleveland, though, Moonaf, you've added in something about Terry Francona and some health issues.
Yeah, this was some news that came down yesterday regarding Terry Francona. He was going to step away for the remainder of the season, possibly for the foreseeable future, just to focus on his health and recovery. I know he's been battling some health issues and some personal things. So I think, you know, first and foremost, as a human being, before there are players and managers, that you have to make sure to, you know, take care of yourself, your health issues, and especially your mental state. So I think, you know, Cleveland's pretty much, we can say that they're out of the pennant race, or at least the division race, or trying to get into the playoffs. But for Terry Francona, you know, wishing him that he can get back into the dugout soon for the Indians, hopefully next season. But I think, you know, for him to step away, just take care of himself and his mental health, I think that's powerful. So wishing him a speedy recovery and everything is good for him, because he was a fan favorite when he was one of the Red Sox managers way back when, you know. And I've watched him when he's been with the Indians, and he's a great manager. So just wishing him a speedy recovery.
Yes, absolutely. Echo that. Okay, Moonaf, let's do trade deadline. Now, we've put the sort of show notes together as it happens, but as it went down chronologically, we've added bits and bobs. I've just said bits and bobs and heard myself say it as well. So the people will be delighted with that. But there's one trade which absolutely stands out head and shoulders above everything else. It's not even close. And that's obviously the Rockies acquiring Ashton Goudreau from the Reds for cash considerations, Moonaf. Not really. That was a terrible joke. It was clearly the LA Dodgers have absolutely blown this up. I mean, I read this last night. Now we have the deadline day over here. We have Premier League deadline day, and occasionally, I remember Manchester City picking up Robinho about 12 years ago. That was the real signal of intent. You see an absolute mammoth blockbuster, but this one seems so far out there in terms of how much money it's going to cost, and the names of the players they're adding to an already stellar squad. Max Scherzer and Trey Turner to the LA Dodgers, Moonaf. That's incredible.
Yeah, and this trade came down about last night. I think first let's kind of rewind, in that yesterday or the day before, we were hearing that Max Scherzer was ready to be traded, or that he has something in his contract where he can veto any trade, because he's number one, been in the season, or sorry, in the MLB for at least 10 years. And then he's been with the same team for at least 5 years. So it's something called the 10-5 rule that's in your contract. And then we were hearing that he wanted to go to the West Coast, whether it was going to be the Dodgers, the Padres, or the Giants. But then we also heard that the Blue Jays, the Yankees, the Red Sox, I believe the Rays were also another team that were mentioned that he could possibly go to. So lo and behold, I think not yesterday, but the day before that, it almost seemed like that he was headed to the San Diego Padres. And when I was doing the show notes, I actually put in there that he was heading to the Padres. And then I guess something happened where they weren't able to come to an agreement. Fast forward, news broke down yesterday that both Max Scherzer and Trey Turner were heading to the Dodgers. And they also picked up Dan Duffy from the Royals. We'll get to that in a second. But I think that the Scherzer trade kind of tells us that Trevor Bauer is not going to be back for this team this season because of whatever legal issues that he's dealing with. We don't need to get into that. Everybody knows about it. So I think that's probably one main thing that they probably knew, that they had to go out and get another arm in this rotation. And for them to get a Max Scherzer, Cy Young winner, World Series champion, he has that fire, that energy, that playoff experience. So for him to be added into this rotation with Clayton Kershaw, with Walker Buehler, and the other guys that they have, I think on paper it does make sense because of the Trevor Bauer situation. So I mean, when you have Clayton Kershaw and Max Scherzer as your one and two, and then your number three guys, Walker Buehler, I mean, that's really good, right?
Oh, unbelievable. Obviously, they've got Julio Urias as well, who's had a great season. And then you've got David Price and Tony Gonsolin. I think Price maybe will have to go back to the bullpen. They've experimented with him a little bit this season. Gonsolin, I don't know. And then, like you say, we'll bring up Danny Duffy in a little while. So, yeah, they get Scherzer through at the end of the season. They get another year of control on Trey Turner. Trey Turner, they control through 2022 when he's eligible for arbitration. But I don't know where Turner's going to play either. Seager comes off the IL this week, but I mean, you can't have enough great players, I don't suppose. But yeah, this is an absolute blockbuster of a trade.
Yeah.
Really, a real eye opener. The Nationals have done all right because they're not going to contend anymore. And they've actually picked up the top two prospects. They picked up four prospects from the Dodgers, but the top two MLB pipeline prospects, who are the catcher Kiber Ruiz and Josiah Gray, who's actually still listed because this deal hasn't been finalized. Josiah Gray is still listed to start tomorrow night for the Dodgers. Yeah. So I can't see that happening. But obviously, he was ready to go because he was slated as being tomorrow night starting pitcher for Los Angeles. So yeah, they certainly picked up a couple of good prospects there for the Nationals. But yeah, an absolutely giant one. And I mean, sort of financially, this is the one that really just blew everyone's mind. It's the one that I could sort of understand most, as liken it to something that Manchester City or Liverpool or Manchester United would do on a deadline day. Just go out and just cherry pick the top two couple of players. Now, as far as having a bet, which is why we're here then. So one of my sites has got all the odds postponed currently, I think, while everyone jostles and trades players. But couldn't you see the line shortening up? I mean, with the Giants drift a little bit. I mean, this must be a bit of a kick in the stones for the Padres, who've done little bits and bobs. But just to see the Dodgers flex like this, the Padres are going to have to continually live with this. But this has got to shift the needle on the Dodgers' odds for the World Series.
Yeah, and I'm looking at one of the books right now that does have it listed. Dodgers are the prohibitive favorite at +320 to win the World Series. And then to win the National League pennant, they are all the way down to +160. So just to kind of reference it, the next favored team to win the National League pennant is the Mets at +450 and the Padres at +450. And then for the World Series, the Dodgers are at +320, and the next team that's favored is the Houston Astros at +600. So that kind of tells you how the market kind of reacted to the Dodgers making these two trades. And I think rightfully so, right? We just talked about Max Scherzer, of how he's one of the best pitchers in the National League. And then also we talked about with Trey Turner, what I've been reading is that he's going to be playing second base because you can't really put Corey Seager at any other position with him coming back. So, you know, you add a bad like Trey Turner in your top of your lineup, or however Dave Roberts decided to do it. But that's, if you have Trey Turner and Mookie Betts as your one and two possibly at the top of your lineup, I mean, that's really good. That's going to be a tough time for these other pitchers to get this lineup out. I mean, up and down this lineup is stacked, and they have a lot of depth with guys that can get on base and guys that can hit for power.
Yeah, Trey Turner's almost continually underrated. He's a quiet man, really, and he's not as flashy as Tatis and players like that. But he's got power. He's got speed. He's got a great glove. So that's an outside. He's one of my absolute favourite players, as Trey Turner. We'll stick in that division then. While we're on that subject, Adam Fraser from the Pirates to the Padres. A good player, almost like a light Trey Turner, again, a sort of a slight quieter player. But he's got all the hits this season. His average and his, I think he's got the most hits in MLB still. And a good piece for the Padres to complement what they've already got.
Yeah, and we had, this guy made the All-Star team this year, right? Along with, Reynolds also made it from the Pirates. Yeah. So, you know, when you have these two type of players, especially Adam Frazier, that's probably going to be their leadoff spot, comes in and takes over as the leadoff guy for the Padres. And, you know, again, Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado, that's these guys that are in the lineup. I mean, he's batting .320 on the season. Not a power guy, but you don't need that when you have Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis on this team, right? You just need him to find a way to get on base. And yeah. This is a huge pickup for the Padres, and I love that they got this guy. Again, a guy that hits for average, gets on base, and when you have your power guys, like I mentioned, that are going to be right behind them, try to bring them in, that's going to be really good for the Padres. I think the only concern right now for them is probably getting a little bit more pitching because they were in that Max Scherzer rumors and almost had him, but I won't be surprised if they find a way to get another arm in this rotation for the Padres. Quickly, Adam Frazier, you're right. Number one, Adam Frazier, 127 hits in the National League. And then number two, Trey Turner, 125.
Wow. The Yankees, we got this one right. We knew Joey Gallo had Yankees written all over them. Beefy Slugger, another Beefy Slugger, get him in there, swing and a miss or hit it out. It wasn't quite a badly kept secret, actually. But Anthony Rizzo one came as a bit of a surprise, Moonaf, and you didn't seem very happy with this when I chatted to you briefly last night about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to, you know, take my Red Sox fandom out of it, but I don't understand why the Yankees are trying to go out and get more bats in this lineup. I mean, at the end of the day, it comes down to pitching, especially in the playoffs. So I guess you trying to make a sense to me is why are they going out and get two left-handed batters? Yeah, they needed two. I think they didn't need one of these guys, but again, with Joey Gallo, it's an Aaron Judge of Stanton situation, just left-handed. Either he's going to hit it out of the park or he's going to strike out. And then Anthony Rizzo, there was rumors that he was going to come to the Red Sox, which I would have loved, but they also picked up a bat late last night. We'll get to that in a little bit. But who's playing a pitch for the Yankees? I know they're getting Corey Kluber back, but, I mean – he can go
even down
to
there was a trade that kind of went under the radar, but says everything to me, was that the Reds, they traded away to the Cincinnati Reds, the Yankees did, Luis Sessa and Justin Wilson, who were both decent pitchers, young, have experience both out of the pen, a little bit of long relief. I think Justin Wilson came, did he come from the Mets maybe? He was one of the Mets' top prospects, I think.
I'll look it up.
But yeah, they traded away both of those who really were going to kind of their future the next 2 or 3 years of either long relief or if they're going to get stretched out into starters. And just to trade those kind of players, they're the players you need rather than, again, like you said, you're swinging your base. A left-handed Aaron Judge. Joey Gallo, how many sack flies, Moonaf, has Joey Gallo had since 2019?
50-1.
Absolutely unbelievable, isn't it? I can't, again, my head nearly fell off when I read that stat. He's had one sack fly. So even, and I really enjoyed the five-man outfield that teams are playing against him as well. They just don't even bother trying, because they know he's not going to attempt to do anything different. Absolutely baffling. But yeah, they've got no pitching and they let more pitching go. So I was confused about that. But I do like Rizzo. Rizzo had he's left a really good, strong legacy. It was nice seeing him wandering around the outfield there. He was in the ivy with his family and the little sausage dog was running around after them, taking some photos and stuff. Rizzo seems like one of the good guys.
Yeah, and just for the Yankees, I mean, they are getting Severino and Corey Kluber back, but I mean, at least for Severino, he's coming off a major injury. And then with Kluber, I mean, this guy is a house built with glass. He can go down at any moment if you throw something at it. So, again, you have Gerrit Cole, but again, his last start against the Rays yesterday absolutely got shelled. So who is pitching for the team?
He did get shelled, actually. That made me laugh last night.
Yeah. And, I mean, are they planning to get as many hits and runs and just try to outscore your opponent, get into the playoffs? Because I don't think they're going to be catching the Red Sox. They're not going to be catching the Rays. So it's going to really come down to the American League wildcard race for the Yankees.
35 minutes for a Red Sox mention, if anyone's got that in the sweep, because I was just going to bring them up. So we'll carry on, Moonaf, with your boys. Kyle Schwarber. Surprising name, gone from the Nats hemorrhaging more players, and the Red Sox picked him up for the 19th ranked prospect in their farm system, a starting pitcher by the name of Aldo Ramirez. So where's Schwarber going to fit in? They needed a left-handed bat.
Yeah, for sure. They needed and we talked about this, I think that they needed to get one more bat in there, and it was going to be a left-handed guy. Check that box with Kyle Schwarber. We talked about him at extent when he was on that tear with the Nationals. I mean, he is dealing, I believe, with a hamstring injury. but he should be coming back. So I think this is a great get in that batting lineup for the Red Sox, Kyle Schwarber. And then hopefully they can get one more starting pitcher into this rotation. Maybe a bullpen arm, but we'll see as today kind of transpires and as we're approaching the trade deadline today on Friday. So as much as there were rumors out there about them getting Anthony Rizzo, you know, I will happily take Kyle Schwarber, who's who's just as good as a bat, maybe as Anthony Rizzo.
The last one we'll talk about in depth before we can whiz through a couple of others was your other team, if we can call them, the Astros, Moonaf, and they headed to the bullpen to make all their upgrades.
Yeah, this was crazy. And we were also, this is another team that we mentioned that needed to get bullpen help, right? Just because their starting rotation with them eventually getting Verlander back maybe in September or, you know, early October for the playoffs. But they needed to upgrade their bullpen. And the crazy part is that gave up a, 7-1 lead on Monday against the Mariners. And the next day, James Click, their GM, goes out. Not only he goes out to the team that beats them that night and gets their two of their bullpen arms, which are really good arms. They got Kendall Graveman, and then they also got Rafael Montero from the Mariners. They had to trade away Abraham Toro, and I believe there was one more guy that they had to let go. But significant upgrades. They did get one more arm yesterday with Garcia.
Yeah, I like Yimi Garcia a lot. I think that's the most important of all those pickups. Graven's done all right, but Yimi Garcia, I think, has got legs.
Yeah, and then they still have Ryan Presley in their as their closer. Pedro Baez is another guy that they have in their bullpen that hasn't pitched this season, but he's going to be back for them. So, you know, James Click went out and did his job as far as getting some bullpen upgrades. And we've talked about this pitching at extent, right? We talked about Luis Garcia with Jose Urquidy, and then Framber Valdez, again, getting Justin Verlander back also. So I think their pitching is in a good place. And again, Alex Bregman is going to be back for the Astros. I know he's making some rehab starts. He's making rehab starts with the AAA team, which their stadium is about 5 to 7 minutes away from me.
Okay.
So he should be back, I believe, next week or the following week for the Astros.
There is actually one big trade there that we haven't mentioned. And this is probably the biggest one in terms of established major leaguer going in either direction rather than prospects being involved. And it happened earlier in the week, and it was the Oakland A's taking Starlin Marte from the Marlins in a swap, and they sent Jesus Luzardo the other way. Now, I love Starlin Marte. He turned down that extension a couple of weeks ago, $30 million extension, I think, from Oakland. And Jesus Luzardo, it hasn't quite worked out for him. He was making a lot of noise maybe 2 seasons ago, pre-season 2020, maybe. Him and Frankie Montas were both kind of on the same trajectory. Montas has worked out better than Luzardo, but I think Lizardo's got a lot left in that locker. And to add him into that rotation with all those young Marlins guys that we've talked about on several occasions this season, I thought this was a really nice-looking trade.
Yeah, and this was a guy that you had talked about in our last episode, was Starlin Marte. So kind of the under-the-radar move, because it's been so dominant by what the Cubs are trying to unload with Javi Baez and Chris Bryant and Rizzo trade, and now with the Max Scherzer and Trey Turner, that it's kind of flew under the radar. I think this is a big pickup for the A's as they kind of fight for a wild card spot. And then I think they also made one more trade, didn't they, for the Cubs?
They picked up Andrew Chafin, who we did mention on our show last week, has been another underrated bullpen piece in the co. I don't mind the A's. The A's pen's good. They've got lots of different options, and they tend to hold it together quite well. And Chafin will do that, and he's a right character as well. He's got that big bushy tash that he wears, and his hair looks like it's attached to his cap. Looks like if he takes his cap off, that all the hair's going to come with it. One of those, but I think it is attached to his head. And then just quickly, the Mariners did bits and bobs. We talked about Tyler Anderson, but what got me was that in the space of 24 hours here, after they traded Graveman and Montero went to Houston. I saw also Mariners Twitter. People were absolutely up in arms. What's the owner doing? What's I think it's Jerry DePoto, maybe. What's he doing? And then within 24 hours, they added Diego Castillo from Tampa Bay, which was a great ad. And I just thought this was the kind of thing that made perfect sense to me. When they came out of it after the dust settled on that 36 hours of activity, is that they'd lost maybe half a season of Graveman, but added 5 years of Abraham Toro, who could be a really good player, and then replaced Graveman with Castillo. So they were in a better position. All together in a better position. And it was just a, the knee-jerk reaction of fans and how sort of short-sighted they can be. And with, within 12 hours, it was balanced up by Castillo. So you've got a similar level bullpen arm. Yeah. And you've got 5 years of possible goodness out of Toro.
Yeah, and you know, Mariners are the hottest team in baseball right now, right? I mean, they did lose the Astros 2 out of 3 games, but I would love to see this Mariners team just find a way to get into the playoffs. I think they're a fun, exciting team. And you had spoken about this team in volumes that in the next year or 2 or 3 years, they're really going to be a good team. Competing in that AL West division, and possibly even, you know, the wild card for the American League. So, you know, they're in a good spot. I think they have a lot of young players that are going to develop as the, you know, season progresses and, you know, in the offseason and spring training for the next couple of years. But, you know, it's Seattle Mariners are definitely a team to definitely keep your eye on. Abraham Toro, you know, I can talk about it with the Astros being here. I mean, a fan favorite. He was a guy in the clubhouse that, you know, all the players loved. So a huge pickup for the Mariners. And again, like you mentioned with Castillo taking the place of Graveman, you know, they got better. They lost a good guy in Graveman, but they added two good pieces, like you just mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been a fun deadline. Still more to come. So possibly on Sunday night when we record again, there'll be other stuff for us to finalize.
Yep.
Ready to win money and boost your odds? WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports. NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, we have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $500 sports bet. Download Bet Win. Download the WynnBET app, tap now, or visit wynnbet.com to start winning. Download WynnBET app to place your bets and start winning. The best place for parlays, exclusive rewards at your fingertips. Win now with WynnBET. It is your premier sports betting experience. We're brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Football season is about to kick off. PropSwap is here to make this your best season ever. With PropSwap, your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. For example, the Atlanta Falcons are 80-1 to win the Super Bowl and have one of the easiest strength of schedules in the league. If you think they'll get off to a hot start, make that 80-1 bet before the season and then sell for a big profit after only a couple of weeks. The average seller on PropSwap makes over $500 per month just listing and selling tickets. And when making your bets, remember to go for two. Make two tickets on the same team so you can sell one for a profit and keep one to leave yourself some skin in the game. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. Make sure to head over to UnderdogFantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for a free $25. That's right, sign up now for a free shot at $1 million. Download the app, sign up at UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. Okay, Moonaf. So we're going to get into this week now. Let me have a look. Where are we? So, picks this week, the weekend series. What stood out for you, Moonaf?
Yeah, I think that a couple of good series. Obviously, the Astros and Giants kick it off this weekend in San Francisco. You probably have some pretty good pitching matchups there. Let me quickly see. I just had it pulled up. You have tonight, they have Framber Valdez going up against Kevin Gausman. And then tomorrow night, Saturday, they have the afternoon game. Zach Greinke versus Alex Wood. That should be a good one. Then Sunday, they wrap it up with Luis Garcia versus Logan Webb. So I think that's going to be three pretty good matchups pitching-wise. And then I think the entire series is going to be fun. And the other one that kind of stuck out to me is going to be that AL East top two teams between the Red Sox and the Tampa Bay Rays. That also kicks off tonight. Martin Perez versus Josh Fleming tonight. And then tomorrow it's Nathan Eovaldi versus Ryan Yarbrough. And then on Sunday they wrap it up. This is going to be the primetime ESPN game. Nick Pivette versus Shane McClanahan. So definitely I'll be keeping an eye on that series if the Red Sox can extend their lead into the AL West division. And then the Giants and the Astros is going to be another fun one. I think Mets and Reds will be a fun one also, you know.
Yeah.
You've been keeping an eye on the Mets all season long also. And, you know, the Reds are a feisty bunch with the bats that they have.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think this could be, because like I say, the Mets are really finding all different ways of playing and winning games. You can't really pigeonhole the Mets as a small ball team or the strong behind the starting pitching or a powerful hitting team like the Yankees. They've been doing all sorts of different ways. They're going against Sonny Gray tonight. And I'm just thinking Sonny Gray's, I like Sonny Gray a lot. He's got a record of 2-6, although his ERA's been quite decent for him. 4.5, but I was, as I mentioned earlier, was looking at a possible fade of Carlos Carrasco, and I just on debut, so that'll be worth a watch anyway to see how Carrasco goes, because he's slated to play a big part in the second half of the season for New York. But yeah, lots to look forward to this weekend. Okay, Moonoff, what order are we doing this in tonight? You tell me.
Why don't you lead it off?
Okay, I will lead it off. Saturday night, we are going to go for, as a lock, Alek Manoah and the Toronto Blue Jays against Mike Minor and the Royals. Manoah, I think we talked him up. When he first came up, actually, he got called up maybe on a Thursday night when we recorded. He's had 8 starts. His record's only 2-1. So he hasn't been the pitcher of record particularly often. He's got a 2.69 ERA in those 8 starts, which is absolutely outstanding. He's had 2 dodgy ones, which were one versus Miami, and the second one where he started consecutive games against the Rays, and the Rays seemed to have worked him out for that second game, which is something that I think the Rays are capable of doing to a pitcher. But apart from that, he's been really good. The Blue Jays have looked better to me the last few nights. Scored quite a few runs against Boston. And also, they're back tonight. I think tonight's the first game. They're back home at the Rogers Centre. So they're going to be pumped for that. They're going to be hyped all weekend. And that is good to see them back. It's been really incredible what they've done. They've played in, I think they're the first MLB team to play in 3 different places. They played in Dunedin down in Florida at the start of the season. They have since been back in Buffalo and certainly are now back in Ontario. So I think the Blue Jays are going to be pumped. There'll be adrenaline running through their veins. Mike Minor is Mike Minor. He's 8-8. Which actually is a decent record for not a stellar Kansas City team. But he's got a 5.38 ERA, and he's actually won his last 2 starts. So I'm fading the fact Minor can go 3 dubs in a row. That's not going to happen. I think the Blue Jays will beat him up. So that's that. And my dog is... Oh, I didn't write down what night this was. It's a money where your mouth is pick for me. I think it's Saturday night again. I was conscious of leaving the Friday night slates. Let me just confirm. Atlanta. It is Saturday night, yeah. So we talked about pitchers to watch a few weeks ago, and Kyle Muller's been one. So I'm going to take Kyle Muller and the Braves against Woodruff and the Brewers. So Muller will be a dog, I think, here. Muller shut out the Mets last week. is 7 in doubleheader. Muller was excellent. And there's not, because he's starting now come on people's radars, there's not going to be many spots where Muller will be a dog. But taking on Brandon Woodruff and the Brewers, I think he will be a dog. He's 2-3. Record doesn't really reflect how well he's pitched with a 2.55 ERA. Woodruff hasn't actually got a W since June the 29th. He's 0-2 in July. And this might be in one moon off where I would maybe lead towards the first five. This has got this a look of this James Caprillion pick from last week all over it, where I don't want Muller to go 2-0 up inside the fifth inning, and then the rest of them to blow it for me. So I'm looking at you there to give me some advice on that. But I want to take Kyle Muller against the Brewers. So they're both on Saturday night, my picks. Saturday is Alec Manoah and the Blue Jays over Mike Minor and the Royals. And my dog will be Kyle Muller and the Braves over Woodruff and the Brewers. And you're going to give me some advice as whether I go money line or do I take it on the first five?
Yeah, I think for Kyle Muller, I would recommend probably going with the first five, because if you take a look at his game log, his last three starts, like you mentioned with the Mets, despite it being a 7-inning game, he went 5 innings in the previous game against the Padres where he pitched. He went 4 innings. And then the previous game against the Marlins, he went 5 2/3. And his ceiling has kind of been that 5-inning mark. So I would probably, I think first 5 innings is probably your best bet to go, because not sure how much you trust the Atlanta bullpen. But, you know, like you mentioned, this is a guy that we've been talking about all season long, or when he came up in about mid-June, is a guy that you wanted to keep an eye on. So I'd probably recommend doing that first five innings money line.
There you go. I am showing development and growth, Munaf, under your wing, under your guidance. Right. So that's my junk for the weekend. What have you got, Munaf?
Yeah, my lock is going to go off tonight, Friday. I'm going to take the A's money line. It's Chris Bassitt versus Patrick Sandoval. These are two pitchers that we've been talking about to extend, but Bassitt has been struggling in the month of July. He posted a 5.4 ERA so far, but I think he will have a bounce back start tonight against the Angels, who are certainly familiar with them being in the same division in the AL West. He has two starts against the Angels this season where he's pitched 16 2/3 of an inning. He's only allowed 7 hits in those 16 innings and only allowed 2 earned runs in those innings. Meanwhile, for the Angels, Patrick Sandoval is on the mound. I mean, this guy's probably one of their best pitchers after Otani, but he's coming off a start where he almost threw a no-hitter. We talked about this, I think, in our last podcast. Typically, there may be some regression due for a pitcher like that going that deep into a game where it almost had a no-hitter. I'm not sure if it's going to be on the back of his mind, but I think the pitch count and things like that are going to be up for Sandoval, maybe some fatigue because he went so deep in his last start. He is 1-3 at home this season, posting a 3.79 ERA. He has pitched 10 innings against the A's and allowed 2 earned runs off of 9 hits. But I think A's are in that chase, not only for the AL West, but also for the AL wild card. They need to try to get every win they can. And also the last bit for this is that the A's are 9-3 versus the Angels this season. So that's going to be my lock for tonight, Friday, A's money line. And then my dog, I'm going to kind of swing for the fences here. So kind of hold your breath on this one. Sunday, I'm going to take the Rockies first 5 innings money line versus the Padres. It's going to be Austin Gomber versus Chris Paddock. I know, Malcolm, you had picked against Chris Paddock earlier in the week.
Yeah.
But Gomber has really good numbers against the Padres. He has started 3 games, 19 1/3 inning pitch, given up 12 hits and only 1 earned run allowed against the Padres, which is a 0.47 ERA. The Padres are batting 171 against him. And like I said, Chris Paddock is probably the worst starter for the Padres rotation. He's 3-4 on the season, a 6.59 ERA at home, and his ERA is progressively getting worse month by month. So I'm going to continue to fade him. So that's going to be Friday tonight, my lock, A's money line, Chris Bassitt versus Patrick Sandoval. And then Sunday, Rockies first 5 innings money line versus the Padres with Austin Gomber and Chris Paddock on the mound for the Padres.
Yeah, I'll love both of those. I've watched quite a lot of the A's. I don't know if maybe they've just had a few more day games, or maybe they've had a series over the East Coast. But I've seen more of the A's in the last week or so than I've seen kind of all season. And they are an enjoyable team to watch. I do like Sandoval, but I understand your reasons for fading him. And Austin Gomber. Austin Gomber's been on my radar. He's kind of one where you put a big circle around and watch him. Because he started the season really well. And then just at the point where, from a fantasy point of view, there was one week where everyone started picking Gomber up. I think it was for a two-start week. Yeah. He'd had four good starts. He had a two-start week in fantasy, and everyone was throwing money. And he went 1.2 innings against the Giants and gave up 9 runs and absolutely buggered everybody up who picked him up. Now, bear in mind, at this point, his ERA is still 3.69. And that's with those 9 runs in. Now, I know you can't go through a game log and just throw out a bad start. But that was a particularly bad start. That was really egregious to everything else he's done. And since then, he showed great kind of mettle. And you look at the hits and the earned runs in the last, man, even the last 12 games or so, that earned run is 0-1-2-2, 0-1-0-2. 3-2. So there's 1-3. He's gave up 3 earned runs once, and I've maybe gone back 10 starts there. So yeah, Austin Gomber has certainly got that big circle around him for me. And you've picked a great place to pick him out there, because Chris Paddock has just kind of more been consistent, but consistently not very good. So yeah. absolutely love it. We do have picks on. From Will Moorman's surface, he's gone Saturday double, same as myself. He's taken the Red Sox on the money line against the Rays, which is Nathan Eovaldi and a Ryan Yarbrough matchup. And for his dog, it's the Nationals money line versus the Cubs. He's taken John Lester, fading Kyle Hendricks there, fading his own Cubs. Will, he must be down in the dumps seeing a lot of his favourite players leave. Nick and Scott have also sent some picks in, and we can join them now for them to tell us who they have selected.
Moonoff and Malcolm, NC Nick here. What's going on? You know, after going 0-2 with my early week picks here, and by the way, I could have easily won both, especially that heartbreaking Nats loss to the Phillies, but I need to shake some stuff up here. Can't go 0-2 again, so let's just get right to it. I got your lock and your dog Major League Baseball of the weekend. We'll start with the lock. That is the Tigers over the Orioles on Friday. It's fade Matt Harvey day. And actually, this Tigers offense is really playing well of late, so I like the Tigers to get it done there. And then my dog will be Braves over the Brewers on Sunday. Braves should be a slight dog here, I'm expecting. It's Charlie Morton versus Brett Anderson. Anderson actually pitched well his last outing, but I think he kind of regresses back to the norm, which is an average or below average pitcher here. And I like Morton to win that matchup, and I like the Braves to beat Milwaukee on Sunday. So, once again, lock Tigers over the Orioles Friday, dog Braves over the Brewers Sunday. There you go. Let it ride.
Hey, guys. Scott Rochelle back here with your lock and dog of the weekend. Last week, ended up going 1-1, made a little bit of profit. We'll look for another profitable week here. And we're going to start off with the lock, looking at the Yankees on Saturday against the Marlins. We like the Yankees on the run line, -1.5. Germán's pitching. He has allowed just 3 earned runs over the last 12 innings pitched. Yankees acquired Gallo and Rizzo at the deadline, so the team's offense should be a lot better moving forward. Meanwhile, the Marlins traded away Sterling Marte, one of their best hitters. Marlins already had the 27th ranked offense in the league before the trade. Now it should be even worse. And the Yankees are still in playoff contention. Marlins are 10.5 games out of a playoff spot. Game means a lot more to the Yankees than it does to the Marlins. And the Yankees come out and bury the Marlins on a Saturday. And looking at the dog on Sunday, looking at the Rockies' first 5 taking on the Padres. Gomber's on the mound for Colorado, 3.75 ERA over the past month. Rockies are 5-1 in Gomber's last 6 starts. Paddock's pitching for San Diego, 6.33 ERA over the past month. And Paddock also has a 6.59 ERA at home. So I think the Rockies end up maintaining a lead in the first 5 against San Diego on Sunday as the dog. Other than that, though, let it ride.
So there's your picks from Nick and Scott. Thank you very much, boys, and good luck. And Moonaf, I do believe that's brought us to the end of this week's show. Anything else that people need to know?
No, I mean, trade deadline is going to be today. I know it's 11 or 12 o'clock noon Eastern Standard Time. So I think there's still a couple more names floating around. I did see a report with John Heyman. He said that the Max Scherzer deal is not complete yet. They're still working through some kinks, but he said the Padres are on standby if that deal falls through. But I'm sure the Dodgers will find a way to get that one done. But yeah, just keep an eye out for some more of these deals. If we get, if there are some more big names like Chris Bryant, Javi Baez that do get moved, we'll talk about it on Sunday.
Yeah, bury us to the Yankees as well, I'm saying, possibly. Luke Voigt's been made available. So we might have a little bit more on both of those by Sunday.
Yeah, probably one of the more active trade deadline for the MLB that I remember. So yeah, definitely keep your eye out for Twitter and turn on those notifications for some of your maybe favorite teams. But other than that, no, we have Olympics going on. We have baseball, obviously, this weekend. And on the turn of the month is going to be August. And you know that means football. But we're still going to be here for baseball, grinding it all the way through the playoffs and into the World Series. So hang with us, and we're going to hopefully cash some more money.
Yeah, I'd let look at the Olympic baseball earlier on, and I think most of the teams have just played kind of one game each at the moment. And so we can get into that a little bit more, because we did make some picks. So we'll have a little look through that maybe on Sunday after the second round of games. Appreciate everyone joining us. Usual place, like and subscribe, Apple, Spotify, etc. Tally site, website, Twitter, the DraftKings picks. You name it, usual places. We've got a special guest on Sunday as well, so that's something to look forward to. Cheers, Moonaf. Thank you for joining me on this fine afternoon where I'm all sprightly and full of beans. I'm off out to deal blackjack again for 3 hours tonight, I'll keep my senses sharp. Enjoy your weekend, Moonaf. I'll speak to you Sunday night. Have a good weekend, everybody, and we'll see you down the road.